This conference will now be recorded.
Thank you. It is just about 5:10 and we will call the Finance Committee meeting to order. Mr. Oakens, would you do roll call?
Councilman Nelson?
Here.
Councilman Fagerly?
Here.
Councilman Alvarado?
Here.
Also present are Mayor Marv Kelvin, Administrator Brian Grommets, Finance Director Steve Oakens, EDC Director Aaron Backman, Planning and Development Director Dave Ramstad, Park and Rec Director Rob Baumgarten, and Fire Chief Frank Hansen.
Okay, the first thing, just a change in the agenda. Action item number 3, we will be removing that tonight and requesting that it is scheduled so that the full council can hear this. Requesting that there is a schedule of a joint finance city council meeting for the 17th. Then the mayor can present that and we can have discussion, and if it works, to have a motion to do the preliminary levy for the 21st meeting. So that is a request to remove that item. Action item number 1, which is the Renaissance Zone storefront renovation.
Madam Chair? Madam Chair?
Yes?
I'm unavailable on the 17th.
Okay, then we will have Administrator Grommets send out a, I thought he had given me those timeframes, Mayor Kelvin, so I assumed that he had talked to you about that. We will have Mr. Grommets send out a request so that we know when we can meet. Can you do that, Mr. Grommets?
Yes, I'll do a poll, and during that week we'll see when everybody's available.
Thank you. Okay, we will go on to item number 8, which is the Renaissance Zone storefront renovation incentive. And I believe Mr. Oakens, is Mr. Ramstad going to do that? Dr. Ramstad, are you going to present this?
David, for some reason, we cannot hear you.
Sorry about that.
There we go.
Okay, awesome. Committee Chair, Steve Oakens and I have been in communications with Jill, is it Bangstad?
Bangston.
Yep, and we have been exploring alternate funding sources for this Renaissance Zone facade renovation program. Jill has not had a chance to talk with Deed. She had a brief connection with them today at the very end of the day, but she has some other conversations with them. This would allow us to use their funding for this year and not seek a city budget amendment. So we would like to table this if we could. Correct, Steve?
That's correct, Mr. Ramstad. Councilman Nelson, they are verifying the restrictions and requirements with Deed, as Dr. Ramstad has said. And there is a balance of $68,000 that is not on loan presently with the Downtown Community Development Block Grant. The total balance of loans is $228,000. Of that, again, $68,000 is not out on loan. So that would be available to cover the $50,000 required or asked for on the Renaissance project. But they are going to verify the requirements and get back to us so we could put this on the next agenda.
Okay. Is it all right just to ask a question? I'm just curious, if that falls through, what options do we have, Mr. Oakens, for funding that? I'm assuming we wanted to do this as soon as possible, so that this would need to be something in the 2020 budget. Is that how it was being asked without that other information?
Yes, Dr. Ramstad and I have talked. There's a couple building permits. The building of the apartment complexes over on County Road 5, there are some tapping fees or some additional building permit fees that were not budgeted. That we'll watch that and possibly appropriate any kind of excess building permit fees that would come in. That's the first place we would look. The second place we always look for are within the department or other departments. If there are positions that have not been filled or other expenditures, and then we would reappropriate from there and give those numbers to the committee to pick from.
Okay, thank you. Are we good with that, Dr. Ramstad?
Well, I just wanted to add that the one thing that we're kind of looking at here is there may be a Davis-Bacon prevailing wage requirement attached to the deed funds because they come from HUD. So, you know, we want to figure out a way of making it as streamlined and easy for people as possible. We don't want this to become burdensome. So that's just one of the other things we're trying to hammer out with this. But I think it should be okay, and we should be able to save the city some money this way, at least for this year.
Okay, so you're good with holding, with tabling this for right now?
Yes.
Okay, all right, thank you. Thank you for your information.
You're welcome.
I think, are you done for tonight? We can say goodnight to you? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move on to item B and our action items, which is the Game Time grant application authorization. Mr. Oakens, is Mr. Baumgard going to do this?
Yes, Madam Chair. Park and Rec Director Baumgartner is with us tonight as well.
Good evening, everyone. Chair, member of the committee. Tonight we're going to talk about the Game Time grant and playground equipment that can go into a couple of our parks. So the action item tonight is to approve the application for the Game Time grant, and if awarded, to use the 2020 capital improvement dollars to purchase two sets of playground equipment. Typically, Game Time does this grant in the fall for us to apply for. The city has applied for this grant before and have been rewarded it before. Right now, we have $150,000 budgeted in the capital plan. This does give us the city to receive matching grants for it 100%. What we're looking at as far as installing playground equipment would be at Hilltop Park, and that's over on 8th Street and Richland Avenue area, and Sperry Park, where the new pickleball courts are at. There's a little catch to it, is the city engineer is looking at trying to redo that road and develop a parking lot for Sperry. If that project is not funded for next year, we look at waiting to put playground equipment on at Sperry. So we would like to put this as an alternate playground equipment to go to Rainbow Park, which is over on 23rd and 5th Street Southwest. It's kind of off of the Highway 12 Casey's. It's Casey Convenience Store. It's south of that area and everything. So we are, as a park and rec board, looking at our parks, and we quadrant the city out to northwest, northeast, southwest, and south, or southwest and southeast, to really fine tune where we're putting our parks at when we can put new playground equipment in. And so we're doing that, developing a 5-year plan for that, so we can spread out the parks so they're all getting hit in different locations in the quadrants of the city. So as you can see in some of the playground pictures that I've been working with Game Time on, these are what the apparatuses would look like. So these are, we've had really good luck with the playground equipment from Game Time. So I'm just seeking approval to use the 2020 capital improvement project funds for these two playgrounds.
Um, Before I ask for a motion regarding this, I thought we had used the 2020 money early last year, that we had made in an odd and adjustment to be able to do that last year to order equipment. Am I wrong? Is that already 2 years ago?
Yes.
It was 2 years ago, Chair.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right.
That was for Voss Park that we did that. We actually held off on the grant last year and to actually use the fund in the calendar year that it is budgeted in.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Okay. Is there anyone willing to make a motion to go ahead to approve the application for the grant?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? I would just like to comment. I was impressed with the diagrams that were attached, Mr. Baumgart. I appreciate that, and that it's not just order something random, that it's thought out, and so I appreciate that. I think the Rainbow Park has no equipment right now, am I correct?
Yeah, a lot of it has been pulled due to when we did the playground safety, so it's a park that needs to be updated.
All right, okay. So this is just being accepted and to do the application, and when we get it, we would be making the decisions where it would go. Yes, no, yeah. Maybe?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the plan would be for sure Hilltop, and then seeing where the road and the parking lot project for Sperry would be.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, Mr. Elkins, would you do roll call?
Councilman Fagerly?
Aye.
Councilman Alvarado?
Aye.
Councilman Nelson?
Aye.
3 ayes, 0 nays, that motion passes.
Okay, so we will now go on to the EDC budget. Thank you, Mr. Backman, for being here tonight, and we'll look forward to your presentation.
Very good, Madam Chair and members of the Finance Committee. Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk about the EDC's budget for proposed budget for 2021. And by the way, I should let you know that we had our audit today, presentation by Westberg Eichens, who is our auditing company. And we did have a clean audit for 2019. So I just thought you would be interested in knowing that. For 2021, revenue-wise, it is a 0% change from 2020. And this is kind of falls in line with some of the recommendations that Larry had to some of his county departments. And so we looked at things and felt that we would follow suit. And so we've proposed the same amount. The county tax levy would be $534,000. It represents about 88% of the total revenues proposed for 2021, which is $605,383. That is similar to the previous year, which was $606,588 before adjustments. In terms of proposed expenses for 2021, we're looking at $604,800. I think you know me well enough that I like to have a balanced budget for our organization, and we've done that each year that I've been here. Walking through this budget, looking on page one there with the expenses, I'll just quickly run through a couple of things. You'll see there that there's a Candy Ojai Creating Entrepreneurial Opportunities or KCEO program. That really is a pass-through program. I'm not going to go too much into that, but just say that monies come in, monies go out relative to that. On the bottom of that page, one thing I will point out under board expenses and on the second to the last line item there, you'll see loan write-offs and allowance. In previous years, we've had really minimal. $750 was budgeted and we haven't had that. However, in light of where things are at with the economy and a number of the loans that we've done this year as in terms of COVID-19, I felt it was prudent to bump that up. And so I put a figure of $15,000 because we just don't know entirely where the economy will go. And it's prudent to allow for that. You know, we take measured risk in terms of our loans, but we don't know where some of the businesses may end up. And then I was going to say toward the top of that page one, sorry, we do have some grants there, you'll notice, such as a proposed USDA grant for hemp study and other grants. I think we have a pretty good track record of getting grants. I think you've seen that with what we've done with the Epitopics grant, the $1.3 million for the city of Wilmer, et cetera. And so we expect that there'll be more grants that we'll try to go after. Now going on to page two, the top of it, you'll notice countywide business development. This is for broader stuff that happens around the county. We allocate about $6,000 for that countywide business development. In fact, just to date, we approved $3,900 as a matching amount for a housing study for the city of Raymond, for example. And that was very informative for us. If you're interested, I can talk more about that. But and then on the second to the last, in terms of total countywide business development, you'll see a figure of $35,000. The highway portion of the Wilmer Y project is under construction, as you know. I assume, so I'm making various assumptions in this budget, that the $35,000 Tiger Grant match will not spend out in during 2020, so I've put it into the 2021 budget. So just to be clear on that. The biggest reduction in funding in terms of where we're at today with committee expenses is under the BRE, which is also on that same page too there. Originally in 2020, that committee was $15,750, and then we received several grants. One was a child care grant that we had. Also, SWIFT provided us a grant for immigrant business disaster relief grants. And so that increased the budget for that particular committee to over $82,000. And it's now going to go back down to $19,000. And so one of the approaches I have with budgeting is that you take out those one times. If those grants are done, you take them out of the next year. You don't assume that you're going to get that particular grant again. We have five standing committees, and the first one there is Ag, Ag and Renewable Energy. Last year's $32,000. This year, the current year is $32,000, and we're proposing right around $27,000. There's some adjustments going on there. My philosophy is I will evaluate every single line item in my budget. Some items go up, some items go down, and some remain the same. Broadband, it goes up just a little bit. We received word just this week that Federated may be interested in working on a project, a broadband project in rural Kandy, Ohio, involving several of our townships, and that they would be potentially interested in doing a 25% match. That is notable, but it's too late in the process to apply for border-to-border grants, so we're really talking a 2021 project. Moving on, business retention expansion, or BRE. I've already talked about that, but that includes things like childcare, workforce development, and so forth. Finance committee, which reviews loans and grants, that budget is modestly similar. It really doesn't take into account what's been happening this year with COVID-19. Just to put it in perspective, usually we have maybe looked at one loan every month or every couple of months. And in the last 24 weeks, we have met 19 times. We have approved, we have considered 35 COBOL applications, loan applications, that is COVID-19 business assistant loans. We've approved 20 immigrant business disaster relief grants. We have been in the process of considering 164 CPR, that is the CARES Act grants. And so it has been super busy in that regard. So I appreciate the Finance Committee, because these guys are all volunteers. and they've been meeting almost weekly for half a year. Marketing is very similar to last year, $20,400 in FY20. And this year for 2021, we're proposing $21,600 on page three. Tourism, that remains the same at $34,200. And that is transferred over in the first quarter of each year to the CVB. Bottom line is that the total committee expenses would be $109,650. I am blessed with an active committee structure here. In the different jobs I've worked with over the years, I don't think I've had as many volunteers as I have with the EDC here in Kandy, Ojai County, and Wilmer. We have over 50 volunteers that are active with these five standing committees. So we are blessed with those folks. It's very similar to last year. Last year, we had $111,300. For committees, and we're talking right around 110 right now. In terms of employee compensation, which is the bottom of page three, in light of COVID-19, basically I've kept salaries at 2020 levels. In terms of health insurance, I'm keeping that at 4,000 and upping the employee contribution. So before we were doing just over $100 a month contribution, and now we are contributing just over $200 a month per employee. That is one of the ways we keep our budget in line here without the increase in the levy. Turning to page four on the budget, this is under administrative expenses and so forth. You'll see that we have memberships there. It's sad to say that we are discontinuing the membership for WorkUp. We certainly would have supported continuing membership in the co-working space at the Midwest Technology Campus, but during the COVID-19 timeframe, Betsy decided to close up shop and is no longer there. And so we missed that co-working space. However, I recommended, and it was recommended for approval by the Joint Powers Board, to continue the startup boot camp scholarships at $1,800 a year, and that occurs on page two. But anyway, overall, I think it's a tight budget. I think we have held the line on increases. I think that is important given where we're at in the local economy right now. Any questions on the proposed 2021 budget? Aaron, clear? Yes.
Chair.
Go ahead.
I have a question in regards to the CARES funds. If you could send an accounting or reference to the dollars that the city sent over. If you can do that, we have reporting that was due today, so we did have a day or two extension on that. I can include a statement, if nothing else, on that.
Right. I did provide to Jean an example of income expense and they wanted it through August 31st, and I can forward that to you. It has both income and expense, and it reflects what was handled there. I would say that I think that $1 million was transferred in the beginning of September, and so would be reflected in the next months. But I'll send the income expense regardless to you, Steve. All right?
Yeah, and I would only include it as footnotes because we would show the full $1 million being transferred to the EDC.
Right. Thank you.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Backman? I am not seeing any, but I thank you very much for presenting this. I have one just quick question. Is there any co-working space anywhere around here since they closed out there? Or was that it?
That was the main co-working space here. There are people that will be, that share office space, but not the same thing with various services. You know, in terms of marketing and networking the same way. And so we will miss that, I think. And I considered it one of the top six co-working spaces in rural Minnesota. You know, there's big ones like COCO that are in the Twin Cities, but there frankly aren't that many successful co-working spaces out in rural Minnesota. And so I think we're going to miss it.
Yes.
In terms of the budget, though, it'd be nice if you have a recommendation of supporting it that would go to the council.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that. So I just wanted to say thank you for being here and the good work that you do. Look forward to 2021 and the good possibilities for Wilmer and working together. So with that, I would take a request for a motion to accept the EDC's 2021 budget proposal.
I'll make that motion.
Oh, all right.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to accept the EDC's 2021 budget. Any further discussion? Go ahead, Councilmember Osmus.
I just wanted to say that we did have a EDC meeting earlier today, and I'll just do it publicly for this committee, but I gave a major kudos to Aaron and the EDC for us. On Tuesday night, we voted for the Epitopics water line, and thanks to them acquiring those funds of $1.3 million. That was huge. That was just huge, and it's so appreciated. And I just want to thank Aaron for all his work on that.
Thank you, Julie.
Duly noted. Any other questions or comments? If not, Mr. Oakens, roll call.
Councilman Alvarado.
Aye.
Councilman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Fagerly.
Aye.
4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bass. Have a good night. Okay, our next item, Mr. Oakens, it's a sales tax analysis funding level review.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, included in your packet was the notification that we received on the 3rd of September. You should have all received an updated one today that we got from today on the 9th, actually, which would have updated June. So the June one would have added another 30,000 to what you see on your screen there of 134. So we're slightly lower than the average of 168, but not that much. And then if you look at the July estimates, which we received for August of 201, that was favorable. And as Administrator Grommets has mentioned in emails and stuff that, and the Invest in Wilmer meetings, we will have ups and downs, but if we maintain that average, the analysis that we discussed at our last meeting and that the Invest in Wilmer group has received will continue to be positive, and that we will be able to move these projects forward as action that the council took at your last meeting. So with that, I could be more than happy to answer any questions.
Any questions of Mr. Oakens on the sales tax? Councilmember Osmus.
Didn't we get another update that added 27,000 onto July?
The June. The update that came out today or yesterday was a little over 30,000, and that would have been added to the 134.
Okay.
And as I receive those updates, I do send them out to the Finance Committee primarily, and do copy the rest of the council, the Invest in Wilmer group, and certain staff members.
All right. Any other questions from Mr. Oakens on the sales tax? If not, we will move on to the state financial information update.
Madam Chair, the only update that I have, and maybe Mr. Grommets or yourself have others, is that the governor will be calling again another special session. There's been no further updated forecasts or notifications from the League of Minnesota Cities to my office anyway, as far as any discussion about unallotment or any of that information. So the bonding bill and some of the other issues as has happened the last couple months will still depend on the state and their special sessions. So I don't know if Mr. Grommets or yourself have anything to add to that.
Mr. Grommets?
Yeah, at this present time, that's pretty well sums it up. It's just a wait and see. It's my understanding the legislature is likely going to be getting together and we'll see if they move on any of those items.
There were a lot of organizations that went together to send requests for the bonding bill to be passed. I had a coalition board meeting today and it basically is a flip of a coin. I'm not sure that anyone feels like there is anything, movement in any direction. And I've seen some local legislators saying that it's not going to happen. So I guess we wait and see. So. Any other questions or comments on the state finance information? If not, we will move on to departmental information update. Mr. Okuns.
Madam Chair, our office has been busy with working with the mayor and administrator on compiling the budget for all the different proposals. We have also been busy with the CARES reporting and compiling that information, working with HR in doing the emergency paid sick leave and those types of costs, reconciling those numbers. We have had final discussion with the city auditor. And believe he is scheduled to meet with the administrator and I or have discussions on the audit, which we will then have for you at our next meeting, next regular meeting. And we will invite him to be there as well. And so it's been a busy couple weeks with the holiday in there as well. I had a couple days off, so. But the budget numbers, again, are available and scanned in. And I did research the last 3 years, and with the changing in work sessions back to committees and those types of things, 17 and 18, the presentation was to the full work session. Last year, it was in a joint finance committee meeting / city council meeting, and only the finance committee members voted. So that structure moving forward will work well as for this year as well, I believe.
Okay, we're on deadline to get that in, Steve. Did we do all right with that, Mr. Okuns?
Yeah, the only action that will require city council action by the end of September is the passage of the preliminary tax levy. As we have discussed in the past, the preliminary tax levy historically could always be lowered but could not be raised. In the last legislative session, they did pass an amendment to that in case there is an unallotment at any time between now and passage of the preliminary levy before December 31st, the council will be able to increase that if done by January 13th, I believe is the date. So that additional statute was amended due to the economic conditions and the COVID situation that we're dealing with. So even though the council will pass a preliminary levy by the end of September, if the legislature does do an unallotment, they have allowed cities to increase the levy if they so choose to do so.
Thank you with that. I was actually wondering about the audit, if we were okay with the time frame on the audit.
Yes, we've had a couple extensions and they had granted that due to the COVID-19 requirements and the filing of a number of other communities as well.
Okay. All right. Any questions of Mr. Okuns? I'm not seeing anyone ask any question. All right, future agenda items. I think they look the same as they did last time. And I don't know if there's any questions on any of those right now.
Madam Chairman, number C, the sales tax project financing, due to the council's action at your last meeting, we will and have had preliminary discussions with the bond consultants, and we'll be bringing that back to the committee as far as options to choose from on bonding for the $5 million that the council took action on, and continued discussions with Caris Health, both on the debt refinancing as well as their requirement, and we'll have discussions at that at our next regular meeting as well, as far as the $30 million capital contribution requirement in the lease.
Just comment, we had a hospital board meeting last week, and it was brought up that they were still in the process of reviewing the debt refinancing with that, and I'm assuming that they're in communications with you, since I acknowledge that we were aware of that, and I assume that those communications are continuing with that. So, the federal path, is that the money for the on East 12?
Yes, and city engineer Sean, Mr. Christensen, and I will be in discussions on that along with Mr. Grommets.
Okay, we did have an item on the Public Works last night regarding that. So that was my question, if we're talking about the same thing there.
I believe I didn't see the agenda for the Public Works, but if it's on East Highway 12, that would be the same project.
Okay, all right. Any other questions, any requests for future agenda items? Any other business? Otherwise, I will look for a motion to adjourn. Mr. Grommets, any comments?
Nothing to add at this time.
Okay, thank you.
I'll move to adjourn.
All right. Mr. Alvarado, you're seconding. We will consider ourselves adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.